Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Other Woman and the Wife, where we discuss why infidelity exists and what we can learn from it. Today, I am solo in the studio and I want to reveal something that I have done in the past couple of weeks. Actually, this is a really interesting story how this came to be, but I was invited onto another platform called Jubilee where they discuss controversial issues with, I think, the goal of connecting people on opposing viewpoints. They had reached out to me to disclose my own thoughts and opinions and feelings on the subject of cheating. Go figure. I wonder how they found me. JK. Anyways, I wanted to go ahead and do a podcast episode where I am reacting to the content that was produced by them. I provided the raw materials and so were the other actors. It was a really interesting experience because I don't know these people. Like, I've been talking about infidelity on the internet with people remotely, like, every day for the past year and a half now. And I've spoken with over 500 women who have participated in an affair. Like, my perception of the topic, I think, is so vast now because my perception no longer includes just my individual experience. Like, yes, I can differentiate between my individual experience and all of the stuff that I am learning along the way, but it's weird. I feel like, makes me feel like I stick out like a sore thumb, and I don't totally understand why I would stick out like a sore thumb for having a unique point of view, but I want to get into it with you guys, so I'm going to go ahead and start sharing.
When you're tender to the person, I'm always curious, like, what do you expect from the other person? And that's where I start to question, are you doing it for selfish reasons? Because I expect them to be like, you know what, we'll work through it.
I don't think you can expect anything.
Which is, yeah.
I don't think you can expect anything. Yeah, no expectations of others is definitely a way to go about your life with less disappointment and turning expectations back around on yourself. But I feel like Leon actually raises a really good point. Like, what is the point of disclosure? Like, if you're going to tell somebody that you cheated on them, what is the intended outcome? What do you expect it to result in? Like, I think that when I went to disclose, my whole intent was to make sure that I was not revoking the only power anybody has in this world, which is the power of choice. I didn't want to be responsible for altering somebody else's perception of reality and what role I play in their reality. So I really owned my shit. Like, in an unapologetic way, probably in a brutally honest way, definitely in a brutally honest way. And I think my intention with that, like what Leon is asking, like, why did you do that? And it was like, to set the record straight, man. I didn't want to lie to anybody anymore. And lying is like this habitual thing that we do. And it starts with lying to yourself. I think that we're brought up in society to believe really unrealistic things. Unrealistic in the sense that marriage and motherhood provide ultimate happiness. That's some fucked up shit that we perpetuate within society, like little girls find a good man to settle down with, and then you'll have it all. I'm a huge fan of a lot of the content that my children watch because it empowers the individual. Like, even if you think about Frozen, right? Like, that entire story was about how the younger sister was pining for someone to love her. And she thought that that would exist in a man. But that whole story, like even the end, you know, like the true love thing was between her and her sister. And that was the love that was necessary that she was seeking in other people. So I think that the way children are growing up today is different. And it's different in a good way. As long as the adults are paying attention and allowing the children to develop their own sense of perception, their own ability to think critically, their own ability to understand how they feel in a moment. You know, you guys think that I actually don't know what you guys think, but a lot of people think that all I do is counsel women inside of affairs to help them cheat or whatever. Like, that's so basic. That is such a basic thought. And I am far from basic. I am complex. And we go into the parenting aspect. I know you guys have it really difficult. I understand. I'm in it with you. Motherhood is challenging. Being married is challenging. So, how do you grapple with the challenge? Okay, let's keep going.
But I'm curious, like, at the time, can you recollect or remember what you were thinking?
Oh, at the time?
The time, yeah. What you were thinking when you said, I'm going to tell?
There were times I cheated that I did not tell my partner. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about that too now. When I told my partners that I cheated, it was out of guilt. It was out of shame. And I wouldn't necessarily say expectation, but my hope was that they would forgive me.
Okay.
And I guess maybe.
Wait, I have a question really quick. Did telling them eliminate your shame and guilt?
No, of course not.
I'm curious if you're open, let's actually
dig into that. I guess what was kind of like the point there?
If you are disclosing information to somebody else, an effort of releasing something that you feel is holding you back, shame and guilt, that is actually not the effective solution. Mm-hmm. The effective solution is going into the shame and guilt, acknowledging it, and understanding why it's there. Shame tells me I am not aligned with my value system and the way that I operate in the world.
But you're missing the point of the other person's time. You've pretty much ruined their life. You've used up their time.
No. Hold on, wait a second. Wait a second.
Go ahead.
I think that the only person who has the power to destroy my life is me.
I mean, you can say that now as a person who's grown and gone through something, but when you're in the situation, when you're in a relationship with somebody and they don't know that you're cheating on them, you think, like, you owe that to...
Why would I develop a dependency for my life's purpose?
But it sounds...
No one's saying it's a dependency.
No, it sounds like you're trying to say that I should just be able to do whatever I want. How you take it is all up to you, but I'm going to have the freedom to do whatever I want.
Oh, no. Okay. Maybe you didn't hear...
Universal truth for everyone who is listening to this episode of the podcast. Everyone is always doing exactly what they want at all times. There is nobody that does something that they don't want to do. And if you're saying that you don't want to do it, it's because you don't understand how your priorities shape your decision making. And so this guy, Keith, he's like, it sounds like, bitch, you just misinterpreted exactly what I said. Listen again.
First statement. I agree that you don't always have to disclose a betrayal to the betrayed person.
I think that you always should give that to them. It's not in a sense to try and relieve any type of guilt or shame that you have. It's not to say that, oh, once I do this, I'm going to feel better. No, it's, as you said, to put the ball in their court and say, you know what, I got to be upfront with you, because just think about, you're thinking about the emotional trauma of what they're going to feel when you say it to their face. Mm-hmm. But what about the trauma that they'll feel if they hear it from somebody behind their back?
And I have to just, about putting the ball in your court, I wish that had happened to me. Like, as the person cheated on, both times I was not told. Mm-hmm. Both times I used magical intuition or something, and I knew exactly who it was, when it was, what time it happened, and I broke up the relationship the first time.
I actually seriously love it, the way that this chick, the chick on my left in the screenshot, I love the way that she talks about her emotions.
We always know. And so, I mean, I think, yeah, putting the ball, I wish the ball had been put in my court. Both times I was not apologized to. They never admitted to doing it.
Oh,
and like,
I
was,
damn.
I've, so it's, I've been it's cheated rough. On too. And I've also been cheated on.
And I wish I've been cheated on as well. He came and told me and broke up with me and gave me no option.
That's
no,
right. See, and like that woman who's like, he cheated on me, broke up with me and gave me no option. Yeah, it's his life. Like, it's his life. He gets to lead it how he wants. He decided to cheat on you and leave. I actually think that's way more respectful and quite a bit of dignity to say to somebody, I've totally fucked up. This isn't the life that I want anymore. I'm going to go in this direction, regardless of whether you support it or not. Like, everyone has the freedom to live their own life.
But I think that was very, very, very emotionally traumatizing for me, you know?
Because it felt like abandonment.
Yeah, it did. Well, but I've never been abandoned before. Like, I've never experienced
it was your
that.
First
so,
experience.
Right. And so it definitely, like, took time for me to get
She brought up a very good point. What if someone is suicidal?
I did hear that.
Like, that made me think, because I'm like, I think you should definitely disclose it at some point somehow. And yet, if I had a partner who was so fragile and I knew that...
But how long have they been fragile? Were they fragile when you cheated or way before you cheated?
I've been in that...
Like, who cares about the timing of when they became suicidal? Like, so many people cheat because their partner tells them, I will kill myself if you leave me. So what's the option? These people end up with responsibilities on their shoulders that do not fit the capacity of what they can be held responsible for. I don't get it.
Situation, there are safeguards you can put in place that you make sure that they're with safe people, that they have people who can support them through that time. Because I have been in that situation.
But what I'm saying is, I respect that, but the same token, when you met this person with a suicidal...
Oh, no, I'm saying I was the suicidal person who was cheated on.
But using that...
Like, it's so weird because I think that Leon likes to develop a story where he's like, anybody who is cheated needs to have serious repercussions because they're the one with all of the faulty decision-making. And he wants to create, you know, a story that's like, well, did you... He just wants to villainize the woman that cheated on him because he hurt so badly. And while I understand that, villainizing her is not going to heal him.
Not as like a deterrent for why you shouldn't tell someone. It's not always...
As somebody who was in that situation, mm-hmm. I agree that I was still glad I was told. Mm-hmm.
It's not always the cheater's fault when they cheat.
I can think of one instance where I would say it's not the cheater's fault. If someone is in an abusive situation and maybe they don't feel safe to leave the relationship, I could understand why. And maybe even like they've fallen for someone else, they use that as an excuse to get out of the relationship. I would still say it stems from within, for sure. But that would be the one instance in which I would say I could totally understand like where the cheating came from, that it's, you're not safe.
I think that I have read too many accounts of women and men being taken advantage of and being put into a situation where there really is no choice. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the women that I counsel are in domestic violence households, and a lot of them have been threatened with murder if they chose to leave the relationship. And so what ends up happening is all of a sudden you're at work and you are having a conversation with a male colleague who exhibits genuine care for you and your situation. It's almost impossible to stop the inertia of love from being able to take that person out of the situation.
If I had to play devil's advocate, do you think replacing something that can be considered negative with another negative makes it right?
It's difficult to compare like one sin to another, but I
think it's so funny that he brings up like the two wrongs make a right. Like, it's interesting that Jubilee, which I understand what they're doing, with the content, they're trying to drive controversy and expose people's genuine, uncensored reactions to very triggering conversation. And so when he's like, basically, do two wrongs make a right? Like, if this isn't clear to you as a listener by now, how very uninterested I am in wrong and right, let me tell you right now, I am not interested in right and wrong. I am very interested in the truth and the reality. And I think that I have been coming to terms that the only truth that truly matters is your own. And whether you're clear on that or not, like, I don't need to know Leon's truth in order to validate the fact that whatever happened in his marriage hurt him. Like, that's it. Like, I don't have to invalidate it. I don't have to timeline it. I don't have to come up with some type of measuring stick to qualify any of his emotions or any of his experience. And so, like, Julie, I forget this guy's name, the mediator, but he saying, like, the whole two wrongs making a right, it kills me. If you are the other woman in your relationship and you love this podcast, you would love the Other Women community. The Other Women community is a membership program designed to help other women just like you reclaim their relationship with themselves and heal from their affair. We provide a safe and supportive environment for you to open up and talk about your experiences. We give you the tools and resources you need to grow into an authentic, empowered individual. If you're ready to take the next step in your healing journey, head on over to theotherwomanandthewife.com/community to learn more about the membership and all it has to offer. All right, let's jump back into the episode.
I think that at the end of the day, if somebody is harming you, whether it's emotionally or physically, and they're making that choice, that's always going to be worse to me.
I also think that truth and reality really don't give a about right or wrong. So it's kind of like, why would I be so obsessed with labeling somebody else's decision that ultimately resulted in their safety?
Yeah, might make them safer.
Holy shit. I can't believe I said that. I'm impressed.
Okay, I believe wrong is wrong. I do. I believe that two wrongs don't make a right. There's no way. Like, that's just my personal belief. I don't think that.
What if that person is not safe to leave?
But they're okay to cheat. Yeah. It's not a question of okay. I think that it's without partiality. Like, I can't sit here and say that somebody is right for cheating based off of
right.
They're okay to be able to cheat based off of the fact that they're in an abusive relationship. If you are in an abusive relationship, get the heck out.
But what if you can't? It's not always that.
Then how is it that, like, no one is able to tell me?
Dude, this girl Raven, like, I'm gonna read you guys something that I wrote to the girls. Some of the girls inside of the community, we were chatting last night, and I've been getting into the details of why I fell in love with Stan and what my thoughts are, you know, like my thoughts on, like, a lot of shit, like, a long time ago, or from what had happened a long time ago. And somebody had asked me, she said, "Are you loud in public, or if you go out with friends, etc.? I just got done with your podcast where you talked with Jared, and the part where you talked about how you and Stan hated each other at first, and then you described Stan, but you said also yourself." And I thought it was so interesting that she asked me that question, and I sat on it for a while. That's one thing that I definitely learned to do post-affair. If somebody asks me a question, and it's an important question, I do not treat it with urgency. If it is something that requires me to think a little bit to develop my response, I give myself the time and space to think about my response. And this is what I told her. I said, "Okay, I must know what prompted this question. Part of me falling in love with Stan is I wanted to be rescued / be him, be my own rescue, essentially. Stan and I felt like cats and dogs who definitely didn't like each other in the beginning. However, most of our initial dismay with one another had a lot to do with our own prejudices. I thought there was such thing as too loud, and he thought there was such a thing as too naive. In falling in love with Stan and choosing to love Stan, I understand myself better. Some things people fail to want to understand about me is I am a woman who is in her second marriage, indoctrinated to be against a divorce, has three children with one man, is financially set by her husband, and has the autonomy to speak her mind without fear. These are all privileges, not without him, but because of my relationship with him. And this Raven chick, she speaks like she has unacknowledged privilege. I don't have to experience something to attempt at understanding it. So when she's sitting there and saying like, oh, so you're safe to cheat, but you're not safe to leave. Like, I feel like that type of reaction is so unhelpful to anybody who is going through a hard time. Like, have some fucking compassion. Jesus.
You got to talk to some girls.
Okay, well, our question will be,
calm down. I just want to know. I'm asking the question because you're saying that someone can sit there and cheat on someone based off of the fact that they're in an abusive relationship. Where does that come?
It's not even that they can. They do. And if you're not willing to understand and all you want to do is judge the situation, sit your ass down.
Make that okay or make it right. Where does that come from?
It's not a black and white thing. And I think we keep coming to that. I don't think anybody's saying like, it's okay. I think we're just saying it's not okay. Mm-hmm. And it's in the middle.
But I believe in yes or no and okay or not right. Okay, and right or wrong.
I think some of us are thinking black and white and some of us just aren't those kinds of people. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not open about
but,
that.
But I'm not saying that being unsafe in an abusive relationship makes it okay to cheat. What I'm saying is that someone might use forming a relationship with another person as a safety net, because now you have somebody else to go to. Because I think a lot of people don't realize, but the abuse actually kicks up after you leave the relationship. Mm-hmm. It gets worse because the person who's abusing you will stalk you, will chase you, will blow up your phone, will show up at your house. It is very dangerous for people, I'm not gonna gender it, for people who are leaving.
By the way, I wanna make it very clear. People are the most dangerous things to people.
Abusive situations, it gets more dangerous. And so cheating, forming another relationship with somebody may actually help that person find safety.
My question would be like, how would it help them find safety if the relationship is already abusive? I would think that would anger the person more. Yeah.
Because it brings a new person into the experience. Someone who can say, someone's in danger here. How can I help this situation? Like, we give infidelity so much power that it doesn't really need to have. Like, I think you guys have heard me say it before, but I think I have whittled down infidelity to, or an affair, whatever, poorly timed relationship. That's it. Could life have been a little bit more easy to understand had the infidelity not existed? Maybe, but that's not the reality we live in. It's totally here. It's present. It's everywhere. It's rampant. Duh. Okay, let's get back into it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. That's what I'm saying.
It's the disclosing of the internal reality.
We are all humans in our bodies, and you have a right to feel comfortable in your body and to feel safe. And whether or not you have to make a decision that makes you immoral or whatever in order to protect your safety, that is okay in my eyes. I don't think about right or wrong. I was raised in the church, so I was... I wrote a lot about black and white and right and wrong. I just can't. Yeah. My dad was a pastor.
I know we brought up specifics and everything, but I think if we're just looking at the specific prompt in itself, I think that there's always a choice. There's always a choice. I understand, you know, maybe if someone's under the influence and, you know, I can see how that could be literally blurred.
Also, if you've been cheated on and you never want to be cheated on, there's a simple solve for that. Don't engage in a relationship with an unpredictable person. And all people are unpredictable.
That could be literally blurred. But I think in general, if someone's sober,
cheating is a choice.
No, I agree.
And I think that's where we can put the fault on that person because they made that conscious decision.
But what is the purpose of assigning fault?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying there's any purpose. That wasn't the prompt. Yeah. Like, the prompt was like that the person is at fault. I'm trying to get
my point.
No, I understand.
Okay, so I have to tell you guys, during the recording of Jubilee, they had said originally to all of the, I guess it's a cast, because some of these people are paid actors, which I didn't know until I got there. And I'm not a paid actor. I'm just like someone on a mission to help other people with their own understanding. And what happened was I get approached by the director during like a bio break. And he said, hey, so I think you're the only one achieving depth. I sense you're holding back. Go ahead and don't hold back. And I was like, oh, you told us in the beginning not to talk over people. And he was like, get rid of it. Forget it. Just let her rip. And that's how I took it. And so I did. And people in the comment sections on YouTube are not happy about it.
Love that. Yeah, I will.
It's still that choice to where you have to have the accountability held for you. I think that's where it's important to have the right or wrong.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So when this guy says that accountability has to be held for you, I want to lose my goddamn mind. And let me tell you why. Accountability that requires somebody else cannot be upheld by the individual who wants to be accountable. That person actually needs to be accountable to themselves. There's no such thing as holding someone accountable. That's controlling somebody else. But offering somebody support and things that they want to be accountable for, that's different.
Yes.
Regardless of whether we think it's black or white, yes, I feel like if we do not have an objective choice of what is right, what is wrong, then we should just be in a world that's a free-for-all and jail's emptied out. No judicial system. The thought process in my mind, I know it was brought up that, okay, that may be their only way out.
And like, if he doesn't realize like that is actually the world we live in today, that everybody has their own free will, he needs more than Jesus.
The relationship. But then it was later brought up that sometimes getting out of the relationship is the worsening part. So if you're leaning towards getting out of the relationship anyway, are you going to create
more what I meant is that you have a safe haven now that somebody, which is also might lead to more toxic situations. But I just mean, if you were so desperate to get out of a relationship and you know that abuse is going to crank up as soon as you leave, now I have somebody else to protect me. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, again, like blame, fault, I prefer accountability. Yeah. I think that's the thing. If something can be right, something can be wrong, something can be in the middle.
And right and wrong is very subjective.
Exactly.
Like, it's very different for everyone.
At the end of the day, whatever my like reason or excuse or whatever you want to call it, it was a choice that I made, and I cannot put that on the other person.
We have to move on. Any last concluding words for each person?
I want to say one thing.
No, we got to move on to the last concluding words. Yeah.
Once a cheater, always a cheater isn't a thing. I believe that there is forgiveness. I believe that you should forgive yourself. I believe in confessing to your partner. I believe in, I believe that you owe that to that person.
Wait a second. Did Raven just say, once a cheater, always a cheater isn't a thing, yet she adheres to a black and white philosophy for the rest of her life? Huh. It's funny how that narrative fits a little bit better for her in her own experience.
To that person, if you are cheating, you know, you need to tell them, and you can change. There is a new life for you. But that's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that.
A fucking new life. No, dude, nobody gets a new fucking life. All right. We are all just human beings who are learning from our experiences, and the experience changes. The experience is always changing if you allow it to change.
It's great to like be able to have a conversation and see the other side and the other perspective in a safe space, you know? So I don't really have any concluding thoughts about the conversation other than thank you for the conversation.
Yeah.
To hear your perspective, it all made me think. And, you know, the interesting thing for me is knowing why I cheated and where I am now just as a human being with my maturity understanding of the world and my own history of abuse and trauma. And how it, you know, it's like I've forgiven myself a long time ago. So it's not about that, but kudos to everyone for just being respectful and really being vulnerable. So,
obviously going through being cheated on, it wasn't a great experience, but I have a different perspective than I have ever had, like than I ever would have had if I didn't get cheated on, because now I know how to communicate. And I think that that's like the biggest thing and the biggest gift.
I hate it when people take a toxic positive approach to something that was like detrimental in their own lives. My boyfriend cheating on me because I wouldn't have sex with him taught me how to communicate. Interesting.
That we all have is we're able to speak and we're able to communicate.
Yeah, I think like throughout this whole conversation, I think I learned that communication is preventative on all different measures. And if we can learn how to have that communication prior to, it can help us stay away from like the hard conversations.
Right, 100% agree.
Yeah. Tell it to all of America and all of the nuance in talking.
Ask for permission, not beg for forgiveness.
Thanks for
ask for permission, not beg for forgiveness.
For joining this episode of Middle Ground of Cheaters versus Cheated On, if you guys want to shake hands and embrace, please do so now.
Oh, okay. So Raven wouldn't shake my hand. Leon gave me a big old hug. And everybody else was super, super kind. I think that I just really bothered Raven. Or maybe she could tell that I was bothered by her. It was seriously like being in the room with that woman was like, it really was. It was like looking at the person I could have become. And I'm so glad I'm not her, man. I'm so glad I'm not her. Okay, well, the Jubilee experience was a hell of a good one. I think it was really interesting. I was certainly, you know, perplexed that they had reached out to me and asked me to come on to the show. I didn't even know what Jubilee was, you know? But I guess it was an experience that was meant for me. I remember the day after I recorded the Jubilee thing was the day that I recorded the podcast episode with Jared, and I had felt a very transforming energy over this whole venture, and very much like I was doing something that I was meant to be doing. So I'm stoked about that. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Woman and the Wife. I am excited that I'm going to be releasing episodes on a regular cadence, because I've been struggling to get the podcast out on a regular basis. So I actually had approached one of the members of my community to see if she wanted to start working together. And she accepted. And now she is going to be working to make sure that this podcast gets produced regularly and I don't jam up my schedule too much with other stuff that I'm doing, like being a mom, being a person, being a wife. And also just the business blowing up has been one of the coolest experiences. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster that I built, and it's so much fun. So we will see you next week. And I'm excited for you guys to start getting regular content into your feed. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode. We appreciate your support and would love to hear your thoughts on it. If you've made it this far, you're likely someone who is invested in the journey of being the other woman. We understand that this can be a difficult and complex experience, which is why we offer guided coaching to help you heal and move forward. We encourage you to explore the links in the episode description or visit theotherwomanandthewife.com/coaching to learn more about our exclusive coaching program and apply today. Thank you again for your support, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.